weekend all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Muck Bill Yarborough. Sonny Young is taking a break from the mic, and I'm filling in for him here in Washington. Welcome to the May 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll kick off today's episode on the court talking with Cape Town Tigers captain Peter Prinsloo, who'll be leading his team in their BAL quarterfinals game tomorrow. He spoke with Jackson and me on our podcast, Nothing But Net, about what his team learned in the Nile Conference, what worked for them, and how to fix what didn't. He also talks about their opening game of the playoffs in Kigali against the number one seed Stade Malien from the Sahara Conference. Let's take a listen.
Prinsloo, thank you so much for joining us. How are you feeling today?
Well, thank you guys for having me. No, we feel good. We had some time to, you know, regroup after Cairo. Obviously, had a performance that we weren't completely satisfied with, but we, you know, the end goal was to qualify for Kigali.
And you qualified.
We gave away a game against Beta, especially, and then we realized that with certain teams, you have to play 40 minutes of complete basketball. So, you know, those are things we worked on just now when we were, you know, in our break between Cairo and Kigali. But no, we feel good and we're very confident going into Saturday.
Yeah. Well, what is the team spirit as you get ready for Saturday? How are you enjoying Kigali before we get into the basketball conversation?
Yeah, Kigali, it's a lovely place. I mean, I enjoy the weather. And it's just amazing to see how, you know, well-run things are and how clean it is out here. The hospitality, especially at the hotel, and how friendly people are. You know, you don't always see that in every part of the world you go to. Especially as, you know, a pro basketball player, we get to certain countries where, you know, it's just not part of culture. People aren't very, you know, friendly, and kind of, especially to foreigners, they're not very fond of foreigners. Over here, it's a lovely experience. You know, they obviously take really well care of, you know, good care of us. And, you know, just to be able to enjoy the facilities between the KCC and between BK Arena, it's lovely. So, you know, it's a lovely experience. You know, guys are enjoying themselves. Me personally, you know, I'm, you know, a good mindset where everything around me is positive, so that kind of just helps keep you on a positive track.
Yeah, no, I like that perspective, man. Positivity is definitely key. Coming into this tournament, obviously you guys had aspirations and maybe things didn't go accordingly to plan, but you all still made it to Kigali, which is key. With your upcoming match with Stade Malien, what are you expecting and what have you guys learned from that conference that you were in, the Nile Conference, that you will be taking into this game?
No, the main thing that we understand is that we have to execute and, you know, stick to our game plan for 40 minutes. And against, you know, Federer out of the beta, we were up for most of the game. We had a significant, I think, about an 11-point lead with about 5 minutes to go in the game. And then we kind of threw it away because we weren't executing the way we're supposed to. So 35 minutes of good basketball got us a good lead, and then 5 minutes of bad basketball, not doing what we're supposed to, lost us again. Same thing against Al Ahly, where the first 4 minutes of the first quarter and the first 4 minutes of the third quarter, we just weren't completely, you know, executing and doing what we're supposed to, and we gave up big, you know, run for those teams, I believe, a 14-2 and like a 16-6. And that was the difference in the game, because if you look at the record game, the other part, we actually beat them and outscored them and, you know, play the basketball the right way. But those times first, you know, actually cost you basketball games. And, you know, in a tournament like this, where you're playing in a high-level competition, you have to play 40 minutes of basketball. A complete game is what's needed to win games. So going into this game against Stade Malien, we understand that at first, that we have to execute and stick to our game plan for 40 minutes and make sure we, you know, do what we're supposed to and what we've been practicing. And just that they are a very active young team. They are extremely athletic, and they love to get up and down. They've got a lot of athletes and a lot of high-level energy guys. But they're also young, and that makes them prone to turning the ball over and, you know, making mistakes. They make a lot of mistakes on things where they're being forced. And it comes with experience, I guess, at a certain point for, you know, certain teams. Young guys tend to play a little bit out of control, especially when you're an athlete to a certain level. You know, take advantage of that sometimes, but it also gets you in trouble. And we understand going into our game that if we, you know, stick to our principles and, you know, really focus in on some of the guys and keep them out of, you know, transition like that, take care of the ball, and then play our defense to turn them over, and we're putting ourselves in a great position to win this game.
And one of the young guys that you have on your team is Zaire Wade, son to the legendary Dwayne Wade, who joined your team this year. How critical has he been to the team's success so far?
Yeah, he's a great player. A lot of people always look, when they hear his name, they think of his dad. But what you got to understand about G is he's not a shooting guard like his dad. He's a point guard. He's a great point guard, actually, and has great court vision. Young guy, so, he's still got, time to mature. Because a lot of kids his age are still in university. These guys are playing D1. But he's playing pro already. So there's a lot of expectations upon him. But he's really helped our team and given us that spark, that young energy, pushing the ball and, making plays for other people and then making plays for himself as well when the opportunity comes. It was a great, we saw the spark that he can give us and really the way he can provide offense for us in all aspects. So we're really excited to have him on our team this year. And the thing that he does for us, because it gives us a changeup from when we played Mike Benninger at point guard, he's been much more in control, run the system, get into our offense, and Zaire kind of pushes the pace a lot more and gets us out and really gets guys running and creating easy shots for guys where they don't have to do a lot of work. They kind of just have to finish or, catch and shoot. So, when you have a young point guard like that who pushes the pace, it kind of makes everybody else pick up their speed a little bit as well, really get guys into a rhythm.
Yeah, no, Peter, we've spoken about this in the past, and you can see it, honestly, game after game as the team continues to play together. The continuity and the chemistry continues to grow. Do you think that maybe in the next couple of seasons, the BAL should kind of extend the time that the teams get to prep and maybe train together a little bit so that you can develop that team chemistry?
Mm-hmm. It's not just about the time to prep. Really big team chemistry a lot of times, and, from my experience overseas, is longer seasons. It's obviously BAL is still very much in its infancy, and that's why they have the two windows for the playoffs. But as they continue along, either having more windows or having more of a complete season the way many countries do, where you're playing continuous games, one or two games a week over a 5 to 8 month time period, really helps create that advantage for teams because they're playing games together and practicing together, and you're learning from your mistakes and just building chemistry more as a unit. Where in many seasons that you see overseas, especially the high level leagues with long seasons, certain teams might start off slow because there's a lack of chemistry or they don't completely play well together just yet. And then once they start putting things together, it creates a steamroll effect, and now teams start winning multiple games, and now they really put themselves in a good position. We even see in the NBA teams that start off slow, and, by middle of the season, they're a mid-pack team, and by the end of the season, they're, top three, top four in record. So that's really a key, going forward with the BAL. And you understand at this point that the league is still very young, so they're still building that process, but I think that's going to create a big, positive aspect to the league and to teams. The longer the league goes, and the more time the team is able to spend together playing games, not just practicing, but playing games against the other competition in the league, to really help teams build chemistry and create that cohesiveness where now they're on the same page in all aspects and they really understand how their teammates play to give them the best possibility of winning.
Playing your first game in the playoffs tomorrow, what have you as a team done to prepare for the big matchup with Stade Malien, aside from, say, watching tape, maybe?
Like you said, watching tape and then understanding who they are as a team, individual scouting and seeing what the players are, the key players, what they do and how they go. But then also, like I said, we just kind of tweak those things and really focus on what we got to do. The games that we lost, it was errors that, accumulated throughout the game, not boxing out, not rebounding well. We are a smaller team in terms of overall size. And so, we got to box out every possession to make sure that we rebound well and don't give up offensive rebounds. And taking care of the ball. We're a team that when we take care of the ball and run our offense, we get good shots and, we get good looks. We got guys that can put the ball in the basket. But you have to get the ball in the right spot and, have it in your hands to get those opportunities. So, that's really been our big focus, is understanding that from the games that we won, if we do what we're supposed to do and play Cape Town Tigers basketball, then it's hard for the teams to beat us. It's when we stray away from what we're supposed to do, that, you know, we give other teams the opportunities to have success against us, and, you know, those are the games we lost. Outside of, you know, Petro had a, that was a game that actually was, you know, maybe it was just one of those games that happens and sometimes isn't needed, but, you know, we saw it against Ali and Baylor that, you know, the small spurts where we didn't do what we're supposed to do cost us the game, and we know that's playoff basketball here. 30 minutes of basketball for each one of the game. It's three games to win a championship. So we just really been focusing on the small things that we need to do. We know that, you know, other teams are going to bring their, you know, their system and everybody coming in here with the mentality to win. But we know that if we do what we're supposed to, then it's hard for teams to beat us.
Staying with the fundamentals.
You know,
absolutely, no. I definitely think that you guys have all the keys. Like you mentioned, all you have to do is just stick to the game plan. You guys were in it every single game that you played.
Yeah.
Peter Prinsloo, captain of the Cape Town Tigers, it's been a pleasure, man. Best of luck to you guys on Saturday. And, yeah, man, we're excited to see you guys ball out in Kigali.
Absolutely. Peter, actually, before I let you go, I just had one more question just to get your feel of, or your assessment of how the game has changed in the last 3 years. This is the third season of the Basketball Africa League, and you know you guys come in as it's your debut season. But overall, what has changed that has really impressed you as to the progress of the game on the continent, whether it's the interest, whether it's in the organization, whether just in the skill levels of the players on the courts?
You know, you can really see the attention that the league has, you know, outside of the fact that you've seen the level of play increase. Obviously, now certain teams are, you know, together the whole time. When even the BLs are going on, some of these teams are playing in their leagues. You know, I know Rwanda's league, you know, the guys that are playing for Red also playing the pro league in Rwanda. The Cape Town Tigers, you know, we've had the qualifying process the whole time. So from August to December, we were together. Now, you know, against from February until, you know, June. And now, going back, a lot of the guys, African guys that don't go play outside, you know, like myself, are going to be playing in the South African Pro League, which is getting a big push again because of what the BAL is bringing. You know, you see that the focus and, you know, the advertising and the popularity and market that's been, you know, given into the sport again in Africa. I know some other countries have experienced the same thing, but especially in South Africa, the popularity of the sport and how many people are getting involved and, you know, how people are supporting us and what's really going into everything about basketball has increased so much. You know, when I first got to South Africa, when we were making our first attempt to qualify, nobody really knew who we are. And, you know, now it's walking anywhere. You know, a lot of times you get recognized the way it is in many countries where basketball is a very popular sport. So, you know, it's the increase in awareness and popularity and overall projection of the sport on the continent is increasing tremendously with what the BAL is doing. And along with that, you're seeing the increase in talent level that teams are bringing, you know, to the teams, and also just the level of play increasing by all the players, how players from certain countries are just improving year by year. You can see it.
Yeah,
and that's because of the BAL and the, you know, attention that's being put onto the sport. So it's great for the sport, and I can't wait to see what this is going to do for the whole sport across the continent in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Absolutely. Peter Prinsloo, captain of the Cape Town Tigers, best of luck on Saturday as you play your first match against Stade Malien. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Nothing But Net.
Thank you guys for having me, and I hope you'll be in touch again soon.
Kigali, we are here for the BAL Finals. For the best of African basketball. The Sahara and Nile Conference delivered their verdict. The top 8 teams on the continent are chasing the Holy Grail. Who will be the next BAL champion? It's game time.
Staying with basketball, the NBA Western Conference Finals Game 2 was last night, and the Denver Nuggets beat the Los Angeles Lakers 108-103 to take a 2-0 lead heading back to Los Angeles. The Nuggets were led by their superstar Jamal Murray, who exploded with 23 points in the fourth quarter. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Once I see a couple go in, you know, I can get it rolling. So I was able to just find a little separation and just rise up over the top and make some shots.
Although the Nuggets were able to win Game 2 and take care of home court, Coach Michael Malone made sure to tell his team that they were not done and had more work to do.
We're not celebrating. We haven't done anything. We're not satisfied. Our mindset is we're going to win Game 3. We got to stay together. We can't beat ourselves, and our defense has to travel.
Although the Lakers led most of the game, the Nuggets managed to come back in the fourth quarter. LeBron James, Lakers superstar, had this to say after the game.
He made shots. He made shots at the end of the clock when we guarded for 24 seconds. He made two big-time shots, one over AD, one over myself. Had some mid-range game going on, but he had a three-point shot going in the fourth. It's no surprise to anybody. He's done it before.
Lakers coach Darvin Ham gave credit to the Nuggets for doing what they were supposed to do at home and said the Lakers needed to do the same.
Respected them. They did what they were supposed to do, take care of their home floor, hell serve. You know, and now it's on us to fill our cups back up and go do what we need to do on our own home floor, starting with Game 3.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Next, we have Samson Omali with a wrap-up of African sports. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Mark Bill. We begin the wrap of Africa Sport Highlight in Algeria, where the stage is set for what promises to be a thrilling final between Senegal and Morocco at the Nelson Mandela Stadium in Algiers, Algeria, in the CAF Under-17 Africa Cup of Nations 2023. Senegal dominated Group A, defeating Congo 1-0, Algeria 3-0, and Somalia 3-0. The Lion Cubs of Taranga knocked out South Africa 5-0 in the quarterfinals before playing out a penalty shootout 5-4, which decided the match for the finals. Morocco also had a similar path to the final. They finished top of the group ahead of Nigeria, who they beat 1-0, South Africa 2-0, and Zambia 2-1. In the quarterfinals, they eliminated host Algeria 3-0, and then in the semis, they were held by Mali to a 0-0 draw and needed the penalties to advance 6-5. So far, the CAF Under-17 Africa Cup of Nations Algeria 2023 has been a resounding success, attracting a number of top scouts from leading African clubs and also European clubs. Some football fans in Abuja, Nigeria, told the Sunny Side of Sports that Friday's final could go either way.
I want to root for Morocco because I know Senegal is unstoppable, but I feel Morocco is coming to bring something different to the table because Senegal has been doing it. So for me, Morocco.
For me, I will root for Senegal. Because if you look at their play from their group to the quarterfinal to the semifinal, you will experience they have maturity, their style of play, and the goal-getting spirit. They want to just get it done. They want to just get it done, get that goal. You know. So for me, it's Senegal.
All right. For me, I think I will go for Morocco because though it's going to be a very tough match this night between Senegal and Morocco because Senegal, coming from the competition so far, they've been giving the world what we desire from football.
And on to Africa Club Premier Cup competition, the CAF Champions League. Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa will chase a berth in the final of the CAF Champions League this weekend when they host Wydad Casablanca at Loftus Versfeld Stadium in Pretoria on Saturday for the second leg of their semi-final tie. The teams played to a goalless stalemate in the first leg at the Stade Mohamed V in Casablanca last Saturday, though the result was very much an achievement for the South African side, given that they played more than half of the match with 10 men and ended with 9. Sundowns coach Rulani Mokoena is confident that his side can emerge victorious on home soil.
They play the type of football that Wydad play, that Al Ahly play, that Beluistad play, which is predominantly wing play with very aggressive fullbacks who get into the final third and deliver crosses into the box. What you then have is a team that works very, very hard. That poses a different challenge to us than what we normally have.
In the first semi-final, second leg tie, Aspirants of Tunis will have to overcome a 3-0 aggregate scoreline when they take on the experienced Al Hockley outfit in their CAF Champions League semi-final at the Cairo International Stadium on Friday night. Inspired by an informed Percy Tau, Al Hockley asserted their dominance over Aspirants Tunis at the Stade Olympique des Raids last week Friday, putting 3 goals past the Tunisian outfit. And now to the CAF Africa Cup of Nations 2027. The Ugandan State Minister for Sport, Peter Ogwang, has confirmed that Uganda has intensified fast-tracking the East Africa joint bid for hosting the 2027 Africa Cup of Nations finals. The minister said heads of state for 3 East African countries, that's Kenya, Tanzania and Uganda, have already accepted to submit a joint bid as mandated by the 23rd of May 2023 by the Confederation of African Football.
It is true my head of state did talk to his counterpart in Kenya and his counterpart in Tanzania on the same subject matter. Now, I thank the East African countries, that's Uganda, Kenya and Tanzania, for this initiative, because ever since this tournament or this competition started, we have never gotten that opportunity to host it. I call upon the private sector and the general public to support the bid, because it comes with a lot of benefits to the country. So that means that we will be able to plan on infrastructure for the tournament in time. The same as other countries, by the way. The minimum is 3 stadiums. That's why we'll put up a joint bid. Minimum is 3.
Elsewhere, FIFA President Gianni Infantino has revealed that teams at the expanded 2026 World Cup in the United States, Canada and Mexico will be based in regional clusters during the early rounds to ease travel. Speaking in Los Angeles to unveil the official logo and branding for the tournament on Wednesday, Gianni Infantino said the move was prompted by the scale of the 2026 finals. For the first time, the next World Cup will include 48 teams, up from 32, and will be co-hosted by 3 countries and not the first.
Well, it will be a game changer. It will be an event, a global event, as the world has never seen, of a magnitude that will be massive. More than 6 million people will watch the games live in the stadiums. 6 billion people will watch them from home. And as we know, whatever happens here has an impact all over the world. So that will be great. But more importantly as well, what happens around the world has an impact here as well, in terms of football or soccer, which will become the number one sport in this part of the world.
In women's football, the inaugural edition of the WAFU Zone B Women Under 20 Championship will get underway in Ghana from Saturday, May 20th, with all 7 WAFU Zone B member associations confirming their participation. Teams participating in the tournament include Benin, Niger, Togo, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, and Ivory Coast. Yusuf Basigi, coach of the Black Princess of Ghana, says his girls are not under any pressure to win despite hosting the championship.
We are not under pressure. You know, playing under pressure is one of them. It's normal, no matter what. Whether we are playing at home or we are playing away, you should play under pressure. That will urge you on to play a good game. So I think that, yes, there will be, but we'll manage it.
And now to netball. South Africa will be hosting 15 nations on African shores for the first time in 60 years since the Netball World Cup began. The host country is set to announce the final squad on Friday night, 70 days before the commencement of the World Cup. The South African netball coach, Norma Palma, is expected to name a strong final squad that will face Jamaica, Wales and Sri Lanka in Pool C when the world spectacle takes center stage at the Cape Town International Convention Center from the 28th of July. Netball analyst Kenelole Ngasi speaks on the kind of squad that the host country will be taking to the World Cup.
We've got about 25 contracted players now who are paid and solely focused on netball and the Netball World Cup. And that just allows our players to be able to focus on their training, focus on lifting their game in terms of where they are and where they need to be able to perform at an international stage.
And to West Africa, where Nigeria men's wheelchair basketball team has qualified for the 2023 Africa Para Games in Ghana. Nigeria defeated Ghana, Gambia, and Senegal are the just concluded International Wheelchair Basketball Federation Africa Para Games qualifier in Accra. Nigerian Minister of Youth and Sport, Sunday Dare, believes para sports is one of the games that has lifted the nation's flag high in global events. And as such, the athletes need encouragement and support to enhance their performances.
For every federation, every sporting federation, what you expect is podium performance. So whether it's para or able body, is the performance, the output. And we've seen what they've done for us, putting Nigeria on the global map. Wherever we've been, we've seen them giving us the medals that we deserve.
Thanks, Samson.
You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on VOA Africa. I'm Mukbil Yabaro, and I'm filling in for Sunny Young. Don't forget, you can find all the Basketball Africa League news and your favorite VOA programs on voaafrica.com. For world news, you can check out voanews.com. And later today, our Nothing But Net podcast will be available on voaafrica.com. On tennis news, Rafael Nadal will miss the French Open as he recovers from a hip injury suffered at the Australian Open in January. The 14-time Roland Garros winner also added he expects to retire following the 2024 season. Ryan Brooks with Reuters News reports.
Tennis great Rafael Nadal has withdrawn from the French Open for the first time in nearly two decades and announced plans to retire after the 2024 season.
My ambition is to try to stop, to give myself an opportunity to enjoy next year. That's probably going to be my last year in a professional tour.
The former world number one at a news conference in Mallorca on Thursday said his hip injury at the Australian Open in January has made it impossible for him to compete at the French tournament, also called the Roland Garros. Nadal has competed in it every year since 2005 and taken more titles there than any other player at any major, winning 112 of his 115 matches there. The 22-time Grand Slam winner says he hopes to make a full recovery and return for what he anticipates will be his final season.
Olympic Games is one of the competitions that I would love to be in, so I hope to be there. If it's going to be my last one or not, my last tournament or not, I can't say now.
The tournament begins at the end of the month.
That was journalist Ryan Brooks with Reuters News. And that wraps up the May 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Mukbil Yabaro, filling in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to Ndombolo and Makossa to Kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05